to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise. Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged. Hello, everyone, to this different episode of Eidelman Unplugged. I don't have Luke Duncan, the co-host, with me. It's getting difficult to find some time this week to do one of these podcasts. So I wanted to at least give you an idea of what we're going to talk about this week. The topic is how to overcome sin. And the struggle is going to be finding the balance between offering encouragement and then also talking about what Scripture says and putting it back on us to make some different decisions. What happens is when you preach on revival, if you preach on holiness and seeking God and wanting to be filled with the Spirit of God, and you talk about obedience, people will label you a moralist, meaning you're trying to add rules to the relationship. If you can just do these things, Jesus will accept you. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. We know we are accepted by God when we repent and we believe in Jesus. His finished work on the cross is sufficient. There's no additional work. However, the Bible is crystal clear that we are to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust, that we are to flee sexual immorality, that we are to put on the armor of God, that we are to fight the good fight, that we are to concentrate, rather meditate on things that are pure and honest and noble and upright. So, for example, when you talk about entertainment and you call people out on watching certain things, and we all struggle, we've all watched things we shouldn't, but is it a lifestyle? Well, you look at Scripture, it says, you know, finally, brethren, Paul says to the church in Philippi, whatever things are edifying and pure and noble and honest and upright, meditate on these things. So that would eliminate about 95% of your choices on Netflix. And so we're talking about this issue of sin, besetting sin or overcoming sin. There's a couple different ways to go about it. Number one is obviously you trust in Christ. You trust in the work of the Holy Spirit, but we have to surrender to that work of the Holy Spirit. And I've noticed that three things will try to take us down. Obviously, number one, the enemy and our flesh. We crave certain things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's all in us without the enemy. And then you have the world's influence pulling us away from God. So all of those work in conjunction with one another. But let's look at the demonic realm for a minute. Satan will plant thoughts in your mind. Maybe you'll have to overcome some type of temptation. It's been gone for weeks or maybe months, and here it comes back again with a vengeance. Often, that's a demonic influence planting thoughts into your mind, especially look at recovering addicts in any type of addiction, from opiates to alcohol to any type of other substance abuse. You can see that they're doing good, and then boom, here comes this thought, this overwhelming feeling. You could probably parallel this with pornography. There's this overwhelming feeling that comes upon you, planting these thoughts in your mind and taking you back to the good old days, the supposed good old days. And then you cave into this and you fall again. And then now there's shame and there's guilt and you stay in this endless cycle. So you have to remember that, number one, the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him, a standard of holiness, of seeking God, of just our desperate need for God. So when that happens, the best thing is to do, say, Lord, I give this to you. My willpower is not strong enough. Yes, we have willpower and we actually have self-control. We're called to utilize those. But what happens is we rest in that. Hey, I've got good self-control. I've got good willpower. I can handle this. And we can't. We are to utilize our willpower, but rely on the Holy Spirit to come in and take this away from us. We also know that we resist the devil. He will flee. He can't keep coming against us. He can't keep beating you up every single minute of every single day. There's a break that takes place. So watch out for those opportune times. And often pride comes in where we think, hey, I've been doing good for a month. I've been doing good for a couple months. Look at me. Look at what I've accomplished. Boy, aren't I special? And here comes the enemy. Boom. So he'll also bring in thoughts of condemnation and guilt and shame. So let's say you fall. Conviction is good, but condemnation is not. So a person falls into sin, and then here comes the thoughts, the shame, the guilt, and he uses those to actually beat up the believer so they become unproductive. And those things, such as shame and guilt, cause us to fall back in to the sin that we're trying to get out of. So that's how the enemy works. He looks for opportune times. He looks for weak spots. If something was an issue for you in the past, guess what? He's going to be looking for that same door, that same opening. So if somebody was addicted to something, you're coming off something, even from caffeine, that was hard for me to get off of coffee, of caffeine. There's always that stronghold. And I kept thinking, what's the big deal? I mean, this is no big deal. But knowing it's a drug, knowing it's a central nervous stimulant, knowing it causes me to be irritable and anxious and uptight and rude and moody, not very good characteristics for a Christian. But there was always that excuse. Always when I had a busy day, I'd have to have some. And so that's just one example, but you can talk about alcohol. Same thing, people are doing good, and then here comes that feeling, boom, it just hits them, and then, yeah, you can have one and relax. Come on, you've overcame this, and you haven't. If you struggle with something, that's going to be an ongoing struggle for the most part. I personally don't know any people who have struggled with opiate abuse or alcohol or marijuana or any type of drug that actually can go back to it and manage it. That's usually not happening. However, the demonic realm will allow you to think you can until he's got you hooked again. So overcoming besetting sin. I think we covered trusting in God, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, not your willpower alone, but you have to exercise willpower. You have to say no. You have to have self-control. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So these people crack me up that say, you know, this type of preaching is you're just a moralist. You're just trying to force people to be good. When the Bible talks about having self-control, it talks about turning from sin. It talks about saying no. Unless I'm reading the scripture that says no temptation has overtaken you, but what is common to all man, but God who is faithful will not allow you to take on more than you can bear. But with that, he will make a way of escape, meaning you can say no. You can run out the door. I often tell people struggling with pornography, you hit the delete button. If you get spam emails, you get photos or whatever, you hit delete, you'll hit delete. You don't entertain it. If you're feeling like this could be a problem, then don't go on the computer. If you're feeling, the pull of alcohol, don't go to the bar. Don't hang out with those who do. This is common sense. So that's why I want to be the encouraging side of it is, people fall. We fall into sin. People get caught in sin. Don't keep beating yourself up. Listen to this podcast and say, okay, you got me. You got me, devil, with the right hook. I'm not going to keep being hooked to this. I'm not going to keep falling for this. I'm going to get up and be a better husband, a better father, a better leader. I'm going to learn from this, and I'm not going to allow this shame and guilt to keep me in the state of sin. So anyway, just want to throw that out there. Also, if God's convicting you, I think right now the biggest thing people are emailing me about is with alcohol. It's entered into the Christian community. Back in Jesus's time, they'd mix a little wine with a lot of water, much like in old duels. That's why the Bible talks about strong drink and, weaker drink. And if you're falling into that or nicotine and caffeine, any type of what happens is let's say caffeine or nicotine, it's an addiction. So it's a stronghold. So once it gets you, it's easier to fall in sin in other areas because it's already got you. You're already weak. So that's how we overcome sin. We listen to the Holy Spirit. We say no, we flee. The Bible also says to read the Word of God. Let the Word of God be in your heart so you can quote Scripture. Let nothing wicked come before my eyes in my house. I will meditate things that are pure and lovely and honest. I will make no provision for the flesh. That means I'm not going to plan ahead to sin. Many people plan ahead. They set a date with someone that they know they're going to fall right back into sin. They know they're going to fall right back into sexual immorality and drunkenness. They plan to date this person. Or they plan to go out Friday night or Saturday. They plan ahead. Make no provision for the flesh. Put on the armor of God, which is the righteousness of Christ. Put on holiness, a breastplate of righteousness, of the belt of truth, and you shod your feet with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel. What is so important, if you want to stop sinning, one of the best things you can do is start ministering to other people. Go to hospital homes, go to recovery groups, ask your local church, where can I minister? Because you're bringing the gospel to others. The devil usually, there's a lot of truth in that old saying, idle hands are the devil's playpen, or idle hands are the devil's tools, or whatever you want to say. That is so true. We have to be careful of vacation mode. When we're just sitting around the house, not much to do, when you're bored, that's when you can start to entertain certain thoughts as well. And the devil opens that door, and then you have the pull of the world. We talked about that briefly at the beginning, the pull of the world. The world's pulling you into the advertisements, into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. So everything we struggle with, the lust of the flesh, the world will pull you right in. Seductive videos, seductive YouTube, alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, it'll pull you in. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, what we want, these commercials, these bigger, better, stronger, faster, we want all this. And then the pride of life, humility is not taught in the world. Pride is an asset. Humility is a liability. You need to remember the opposite. Humility is an asset in God's kingdom. So we humble ourselves. We say, God, I am weak. I repent of this sin, God, and I need your help. And then you follow the scriptural course. So hope that helps. And we'll be back on for the next episode, hopefully shortly.
Thank you for listening to Eidelman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at ShaneEidelman.com. Again, that's ShaneEidelman.com.